We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
Matt Nagy, we talked to a lot of Bears fans, young, old, and I loved when you said, you know, they didn't bring me in here to run the I formation because I saw what you did in Kansas City and what they just did last year, and I'm a young guy, and I want you guys throwing it all over the field. But we got, like, old school, bear down, bear weather Bears fans that listen to this radio station. What can you tell them about, like, a pledge to the running game or where you feel like the running game exists in Bear football in 2020? Because a lot of people have questions about it, Matt.
We need to be better in the run game and put together a product on the field that we think is a lot better. And if that means running the ball a lot more, shoot, we are going to do it.
And a huge third and two coming up for Chicago.
Yeah, essentially, the Panthers have to stop them here. They have one timeout left. If the Bears are able to convert, won't be enough time. They can essentially take a knee, victory formation, and call it.
Third down and two. Foles looking to throw. It's broken up. So the clock stops with a minute 40 remaining, and the Bears will punt it away.
We need to figure out what that is. You can't have earmuffs and blinders on. You got to be real with it.
Can you earmuff it for me?
Run the ball. Please run the ball.
All I got to do is say earmuffs.
Yeah, Nagy needs to. I know he wants that back because time is your friend, and you want to use up as much time as possible. I understand you're trying to convert. You go three straight runs. Whether you get it or not, at worst, Carolina has no timeouts now going on this final drive.
We got to be better in the run game.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop lying.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thank you for hanging out on a Victory Bears Monday. Olin Krutz hosting with us 4 to 6 o'clock. I'm solo tomorrow. Then Mark Carmen will be in with me making his Score debut Wednesday through Friday. And it's weird. The Bears are 5-1. The NFC is full of really flawed teams. And yet, they don't feel like they're very good. Because the offense is so damn ugly. Like, is that too harsh, Olin? Or when you watch the rest of the league, you know, I look at the AFC, I'm like, all right, they're not the Chiefs, they're not the Ravens, they're not the Steelers, maybe they're not even the Titans and the Bills. But in the NFC, Tampa, New Orleans, Seattle, Green Bay, those teams all have flaws just like the Bears do.
They do. And you know, Minnesota went out to Seattle and almost pulled it off. Obviously, they get stopped on fourth and short, and you're put Russell Wilson back on the field, and that guy is amazing. But, you know, you when it comes to the Bears, I always try to – you always think about matchups, right? Like, what team do you not want to play? And for me, it's kind of the New Orleans Saints, just because they have two really good offensive tackles. They have a good offensive line, and they can negate the Bears' biggest advantage, which is their pass rush, their D-line. And it's the same way I felt about the Eagles – back in 2018 in their offensive line. And that's why I didn't want the Bears to go out to Minnesota and beat them. I thought they should see Minnesota the next week because they absolutely killed that offensive line. So matchup-wise in the NFC right now, they could beat most of those teams that are on top of their division. And You know, the one team you worry about is Pettine's kind of had Nagy's, and that offense is numbered. They don't, I think they scored 3 points last year, and their first touchdown was after like 8 quarters against the Packers. So that's a team you kind of worry about. But, you know, you're right. I mean, in any game right now, the Bears could win. And I know it was against bad defensive, Danny, but they score as many points as they need. And some of them are big fourth quarter comebacks, but they do it.
Yeah, and so I think it's, you know, it's these two things. It's praising the defense, praising the record, acknowledging where they are in the NFC. But in a normal year, if you're 5-1, you want to be talking about Super Bowls and NFC championships. Mm-hmm. But when you watch the team and you see how terrible the offense is, that just, like, feels ridiculous. Like, it feels ridiculous to me to talk about this team achieving great things until they make the offense look a little better.
I don't know. I don't know because in 2010, you know, like I said, our offense was terrible. Mike Tyson, Mike Martz were you know, trying to figure out how they wanted to you know, do different pass pros. And by that, I'm trying to beat around the bush of the fact that they weren't getting along very well in meetings. Those two guys were not getting along. And
what
then
was that
we
like?
Kind of figured it out as we went along. I'm sorry.
What was that like? Was it awkward to not have?
It was extremely awkward. It was extremely awkward for just waiting for those two guys to work their egos out at some point. And just, you know, the game's always about winning. It's about what do we have to do to beat this next football team? But they finally did. And two really great football minds, to be honest. I mean, just guys who knew how to game plan people. And honestly, those two worked so well together, but way off track there. But just that team... got a lot on offense. We got a lot better as the year went on. And like we talked about earlier, we had a few more weapons than this offense has, but, you know, Greg Olsen and Matt Forte and Johnny Knox and Devin Hester and just guys who could go the distance in a hurry. So that's what you're looking at on this offense, and that's why it feels kind of weird. But I'm hoping that this offense starts to get a little better as the year goes on.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they don't have much speed, right? Taylor Gabriel didn't work out. Ted Ginn Jr. is way past his prime. He's not playing. Darnell Mooney's got speed, but he's a fifth-round rookie. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson's not a burner. Anthony Miller's not a burner. David Montgomery's not even a burner. I got to be honest, Olin, like, I think Montgomery's fine, but if you would have told me that David Montgomery was picked in the fifth round and not the second round, I'd believe you. Like, the pedigree doesn't jump off the page to me when I watch him.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of – he's tough, man. He gets tough yards. And that spin move he had the other day after that catch was a nice move. And you can tell he's the kind of guy you can win football games with. But with this offense, we go back to that. That's why I remember in the draft show we were doing, I thought they should take – and obviously, you know, it's easy to say this now, and it does – just because one or two games doesn't make him great. He's got a long career to go. But I thought Chase Claypool was a guy that I just thought that he's the kind of guy the Bears needed, right? Just opted Allen Robinson, a guy who could take the top off of defense, but they went with Cole Kmet. And that's – I just think they're kind of missing that kind of weapon on this offense. So you're looking for that. Like you said, though, Mooney's been open. He's been open behind a few cornerbacks. He's been open behind a few defenses. And – if they can figure out the protection on those plays and give Foles a couple more seconds, they can get it out there. And that's the kind of self-scouting I think you got to do where, okay, how do we get Mooney matched up and then maybe get one more blocker in the game or one more guy helping on pass pro to give Foles one or two more seconds?
Yeah, Montgomery, third round pick, but not second
round. We don't got to be perfect on this show. Come on, guys.
No, never. It's the ish show. But just, you know, for the point of clarification, he was a third rounder. Miller was the second rounder. But so when I think about the offense, Olin, like, let's do it this way. Who's better at their job, Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace?
I like how you said, let's do it this way, when you knew that's the question you were going to ask.
I was going to just focus it on the offense, but, you know, they have responsibilities beyond offense. Matt Nagy is the head coach of the whole team, even though he deflects responsibility about defense and other things. And Ryan Pace he's not just responsible for the offense. He also gets credit for building a top five defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So to be fair to both, is Matt Nagy a better head coach or Ryan Pace a better general manager or neither?
Let's I mean, how do you separate those two guys, right? Because the offense is not very good, and it's not a mystery to me, right? Because Kevin White doesn't work out. Your number two pick at quarterback doesn't work out. Hronis Grisou doesn't work out. I think he was playing for the 49ers last night after the center went down, but that's a whole nother story. So that's why the offense isn't good. And then, you fire the offensive line coach, you hire Juan Castillo, but then there's no real resources put into the offensive line, right? And you spend another $70 million on your defensive line. And then everybody's yelling, what's wrong with the offense? And like you've said, you're not really shocked at how they're playing, right? I mean, they needed people to step up, but I really can't separate the two, to be honest with you. I mean, Ryan Pace makes that trade for Khalil Mack, and that looks like that's why the defense is good. You know, take Khalil Mack out of that defense, and they're not as good as they're supposed to be. Akeem Hicks is another great signing, right? I think he came from New England. Didn't he come from New England?
New Orleans.
So that was a great pickup. The guy's turned into maybe the best, one of the best combined run stopping and pass rushing three techniques in the league. So I don't know. They're both there for 5-1, and I really can't answer that question. What do you? Can you separate them?
Well, here's what I would say. I would say that the biggest negative that either has is Pace messing up the drafting of Trubisky. Mm. Like, that's the thing that is the single – you had the opportunity to take a quarterback higher than the Bears organization has ever taken a QB, and you messed it up, and that is setting everything back. But he built the defense. He built a top five defense, like you mentioned. He got Hicks. He got Khalil Mack. He matched on Kyle Fuller, right? There were Bears fans. I remember doing those shows right when I got hired. There were Bears fans not wanting, or right when I moved to afternoons, saying, let Kyle Fuller walk to Green Bay. Now, not only would that be ridiculous, Kyle Fuller's underpaid based on what's happened in the cornerback market the last 2 years. You know, and I was saying to Lawrence earlier, like, you talk about how football's, you don't need to listen to him speak. You can just watch the film. For me, also, you can just follow the money. It's a salary cap sport. There's a cap. Mm-hmm. There's a floor. You can tell the actions of a team by where do they put their draft picks, their money, and all that. The four highest cap hit players on the team, Owen,
mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, Kyle Fuller. Those are the four best players on the team.
Preach, man. Preach, because I'm telling you, that's what I tell Lance and Alex all the time. You guys were only good because they had all the guys on that side of the ball.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, and Allen Robinson's awesome, but he can't block and throw to himself, right? And so, like, there are teams that are spending at the top of their salary cap and getting disastrous performance. Just ask the Vikings with Kirk
Cousins. Just look at this year, right? They signed Robert Quinn. They put him with Mac. Well,
yeah.
The 49ers traded for Trent Williams. That means he was out there.
Yeah.
The Bears didn't even have the conversation, right?
Right.
So, you know, somebody said the other day on the radio, they're like, I think it was Grody who said, I always see Coach Nagy walk over and Ryan Pace and walk over and talk to the offensive line. So they're involved, because we're talking about Juan Castillo not being there. And I said, well, tell them bring their checkbook. When you walk over to the offensive line, bring your checkbook. And here's another thing, right, Danny? Like, think about it. They trade two ones and a three. Two ones, that's where you find your offensive lineman.
It can be. You know, you can't spend everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't spend first-round picks everywhere. And they built a championship defense in an era of football where it's really hard to do that. I mean, how many good defenses are there truly in the NFL, right? I think Pittsburgh – I know they're third right now in the ranking. I personally think Pittsburgh's the best defense in the NFL. The Devin Bush injury is devastating to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're awesome. I think Baltimore's awesome. I think that the Colts and Tampa are both good, but I honestly think the Bears defense is better and more talented than those teams. Like I think the Bears have a top three or four defense in the NFL. The Niners would be up there, but they've had some injuries on that.
And I think they're trending to being the best. I mean, you got to see them against Carolina was moving the ball on everybody. The only question you have, I think, is a lot of teams they played and they put good performances on. They were missing a lot of players. Like we say Tampa Bay, right? Tampa Bay had a lot of guys who were out when they played
Godwin
the Bears.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Evans was hurt. Miller was hurt. Fournette was out. So you just want to see them keep doing it. But like you said, they're trending in that direction. And they're, you know, I hate saying this because you don't want to like say it and then something happens. But their health is a big part of you said the Steelers lost their middle linebacker. These guys are getting better, and it's all the same guys on the field. And the crazy thing is, it's without Eddie Goldman. I mean, that, to me, is insane. I mean, this guy is one of the best nose guards in the NFL. If you put him in on their front seven with the rest of these guys, I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, and so I just think that there's a little bit of perspective here, and because sometimes people are like, Parkins, you're not hard enough on the Bears or Nagy or anybody. I'm like, listen, this is not a poorly run operation anymore. Mm-mm. Ryan Pace built arguably the best defense in the NFL. They are winning at a very high clip with no quarterback play and no resources on the offensive line. They won 12 games in Matt Nagy's first year. They won 8 games in his second year, and it felt like a disaster. And they're 5-1 right now. They made a change to Foles. And I heard you with Mully and Haas say that the offense isn't better with Foles than Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
I know the numbers back you up, but mm-hmm. you ever take a test and you were, like, graded on a curve? Honestly,
the only way I pass class. That's it.
Yeah, but so like I feel like Foles had no offseason with the team, and he played better defenses, right? Now, not Carolina's. He should have been better against Carolina. That was a pathetic performance. I was very disappointed in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mitch got to play the Giants and the Lions and the Falcons for his three mm-hmm. starts. Mm-hmm. Foles gets to play Indy, Tampa on short rest, and then Carolina on the road. And the numbers are virtually identical, but Foles did it with no offseason against much tougher defenses. So I feel like graded on a curve, the offense actually has been better with Foles. And hopefully by the time the season's over, it'll be much better with Foles than it is with Mitch.
Right. And I hate going back and saying, I thought I said that statistically wise, it's been the same. You can't argue that points wise has been the same.
Yeah, no.
Anyway,
points wise it has. But I'm saying
I think for what Coach Nagy wants to do, I think you're right. Like I won't argue. I think Foles does a way better job at the line of scrimmage and putting the Bears in the right play and getting them checked into the right play. And he gives one hell of a Zoom press conference, speech.
Good.
Yeah, he gives one hell of a speech on that Zoom call because. You know, you don't want – welcome to Chicago. They'll ask you about offense all day long when the defense is good. But, look
– he's the quarterback.
Yeah, I think they can get good. I think they can be a lot better. Like you said, there was no offseason. But it just goes to, like we talked about, 3rd-and-2, and they got all their best guys on the field. They got their five best skill position guys, the guys who can get open. And the Panthers who – pretty good on defense, but not great. They don't have very great cover guys. They cover all of them. These guys don't get open, right? Cordarrelle Patterson looks like he may be coming open on that wheel route late, but no one else gets open there. So this may be a problem all year, and I just think this is going to have to be one of those offenses that just body shot you all day long. And I think if they look at their stats with the game they just played, they were doing that to the Panthers' defense. They were wearing them out. They got some good runs in the fourth quarter. I just thought they should have stuck with that. And it gets it back to the point of, like, this is our identity. Does our offensive coordinator want it to be our identity, and will he stick with it?
Yeah, and listen, your 2010 example, like, gives me a little bit of hope because I didn't, mm-hmm. I didn't know, like, because you're a talented player, man, like,
oh no, I was in year 13 though, man. It was something.
Yeah, no, It's totally fair. It's just Charles Leno, Rashad Coward or Alex Bars, Cody Whitehair, Jermaine Ifedi, Bobby Massey, right? That's your offensive line left to right. They clearly were the biggest problem, I thought, offensively yesterday, right? If the Panthers are giving up 5.3 yards per carry and Matt Nagy runs the ball 20 times in the game, right, 19 to Montgomery, 1 to Patterson, and you have less than 60 yards rushing on your designed handoffs, that's a disaster.
Well, like, and I would argue with you there because I know the offensive line wasn't great, but what I would say to you is if I told you James Daniels was hurt, what are you expecting from this offensive line? And then I think their number one problem is they don't have any dynamic players. They don't. On the offside of the ball, they have Cordarrelle Patterson, but and I hope
he's
they
not
like
dynamic
Mooney
anymore.
I hope Mooney proves me wrong, but they just don't have a guy like Montgomery when there is a hole there, he's not going to the house. Right? He's not, obviously this guy is, you know, maybe the best, but Derrick Henry goes 96 yards, right, the other day. I mean,
that's insane.
Insane after he stiffed our Josh Norman about three continents over. But, you know, it was just when you watch the Bears, it's like you just don't know. Okay, the offensive line, like I said, on 3rd and 2, the offensive line does block, yet nobody's open.
Right.
So they are just the sum of their parts right now, right? They're just they are what they are, and that's why I'm saying like the offense has to get in a room somewhere and like say to each other like we have a Super Bowl defense, and we don't have these guys, so this is what we have to be. We have to accept it. And that's the kind of attitude they got to take to the field.
312-644-6767. Rare opportunity for us to host with Olin Krutz. How about you get to talk to him? 312-644-6767. Your Bears questions for Olin Krutz next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He set it down for the Panthers. Play action on first down as Bridgewater takes off. There's a flag in the secondary. Bridgewater to the Chicago 33. Looks like this penalty will go against Chicago.
Illegal contact, defense, number 33.
Jaylon Johnson, not too happy with that call, and that was a good hot mic F-bomb. We're not getting as many as I wanted during COVID with no fans, but that one came through loud and clear. Olin Krutz in, by the way, on a Bears Monday on the Danny Parkin Show. When we're done here, we're going to join Chiefs Bills in progress. Still 13-10. Chiefs over, still 13-10 Chiefs over the Bills. Pat Mahomes with 2 touchdowns already became the fastest ever to 90 touchdown passes. He did it in his 37th career game. Dan Marino held the record. It took him 40 games to get to 90 touchdown passes. Pat Mahomes does it in 37. All right, Olin, you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, let's take some calls on a Bears Monday. We go to the South Side. Yummy. Against my better judgment, man calls himself Yummy. Yummy, you're on The Score with Olin
now
Krutz.
Now on stage.
Yes, Olin Krutz, I know I've been a Bears fan for a long time. And you know that. You know, I know you guys need to be talking about something, but if you have to think about it, Bears is always defense. That's why we won the Super Bowl. So the way things are going now, that's why it's going to be. So let's just take it. I know you guys want have something to be talking about, but let's take it about it and be drinking BS juice until we get the Super Bowl.
Drinking something else, too.
1985, okay? That's what we got in 1985. So I don't think it's going to be any issue with that. The only thing is, like, they're going to fix this, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. This is our year. That's how we got it in 1985. Only
okay, Yummy. Hey, what's in that Bears juice? What's the cocktail? What's the mixture?
the cocktail is, I don't know, it's going to be everything. Pineapple and orange juice and everything.
All right, that's going to be sweet, man. Don't have too many of those. You'll have a headache in the morning. Thank you, Yummy. Thank you. Okay. Good start.
Well, Yummy's right, though. I mean, look, they get to, that Bears offense that won now, I mean, they did have the best running back of all time, right? So that also helps.
Yes, it does. Wayne on the South Side. Wayne, you're on the Danny Parkin Show with Olin Kreutz on a Bears Monday. What up, Wayne?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So my question is about Matt Nagy. And his fourth quarter, the way he games the fourth quarter. And what I mean by that is it started with Trubisky in the field goal. I thought he could have got more yards instead of settling early. And even in this recent game, his game management with the clock, I thought he should have ran the ball. I think he's going to cost us a game because of his bad managing in the fourth quarter. And I would like to get Olin Kreutz's view on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, man, that you have when you come away from the game. I mean, look at the first drive of the game. They had two delay of games. I think they had 12 guys on defense twice. But just at the end of the game, throwing the ball, giving the team a chance. Even, one thing I had a problem with, I think it was 13-6. And they get the turnover there. And you just kick a field goal there. And it's a two-possession game with your defense. It seems like the game's over. And they throw the ball right away. And it's a straight drop back. And Foles, he's got to earn Nagy's trust, too, with play calling, man. You just can't throw the ball up like that. So those are some things they got to work out. And you're right. Eventually, it will cost him a game. And then you'll have your chance to say, see, I told you so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like you're every week there are going to be things that you can Monday morning quarterback a play caller on, right? The players have to execute. And that's not to absolve Nagy. I mean, I thought what you said earlier about the decision to run on 3rd and 2 with the personnel like telegraphing that it was going to be a pass is an excellent point and absolutely a valid criticism. Just at some point, it's on the players to execute. I don't think every time it can be Matt Nagy. It was amazing. Like when Nick Foles threw that interception the off his back foot, I got people tweeting at me about Matt Nagy being a bum. I'm like, wait, you think he called the you think he just called the throw it off your back foot after dropping back 15 yard chuck it up play? Like that's not in the playbook. That's not
I'll
on
tell
the
you
coach.
What, if the Bears would protect their quarterback like you protect Nagy, it'd be a lot better year.
Amen. I'd be a great offensive lineman for a head coach.
Gotta get that bench to 250 first, though.
Dude, I got to bench press 150 first. Wayne in Lafayette. Wayne, you're on the Danny Parkin Show with Olin Kreutz. What up, Wayne?
Hey, Danny Parkins, how are you? And Olin Kreutz, man, one of my heroes. How are you guys doing?
Good, Wayne.
That's
man.
Nice What's to up? Call me your hero, but Olin's here too.
Oh no, you got well, Danny. Anyways, hey, Olin. Before I get with my Bears question, I want to ask you one thing. I used to live in San Diego, and I used to watch the Chargers and Junior Seau. He was so big and so fat. Did you ever have to play against him in Hawaii, or was he ever on one of your teams out there?
Played against Junior when I got to the NFL. He was a little older than me, but one of the best linebackers of all time. And I mean, Junior Seau was 230, 240, benched 520 pounds. Knew what you were running on offense. The guy was an absolute animal.
That all you had there? Oh, Wayne must have hung up on himself. All right. Well, he also wanted to know about Trubisky in the Wildcat. I don't think that we get this call or text every week. Oh, especially since he's been benched. Mitch is a good athlete, but he's not anywhere near Taysom Hill as an athlete. Like, I feel like it were that overstates it, right? Mitch is a backup quarterback. He's not some sort of spectacular. He's not Jalen Hurts. He's not Taysom Hill. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not that type of guy. Do you think so?
No, he's not that type of guy. But, you know, with this offense, at some point, if I'm the coach in the building, I'm looking at every weapon I got. And where would you put Mitch? You know, would he be below Mooney? I mean, dangerous-wise in the red zone. They weren't very good in the red zone when he was at quarterback. But,
yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean?
Like this week they ran like a fake jet sweep, fake shovel pass, sweep to Montgomery in the red zone. I mean, it's just sometimes you're watching and it's like you could see where he could come into play at some point as a, you know, I don't know, a read option kind of quarterback or, you know, they did run the ball with him a few times. I think the one I remember was against the Cowboys last year. It was like a quarterback ISO and he can throw the ball. So, I mean, I guess you could use him in that way. And especially if you just can't find your way into the end zone, why not have a package for a guy on your sideline who has some talent on an offense that doesn't have a lot of talent?
Yeah, I looked it up the other week. Like, he was 10 inches less in the vertical than Taysom Hill, 0.22 seconds slower in the 40, like, much worse broad jump. Like, he was in, like, the 85th percentile of quarterbacks in his draft class and some different athletic things. But then when you see Taysom Hill, it's like, oh, that's a 99th percentile guy.
Right.
Like, that guy's barely a quarterback. You know, he's a legitimate athlete. I don't know. It just feels a little bit like a stretch. I'd rather that be Cordarrelle Patterson or David Montgomery or someone like that.
Ryan Nall?
Well, I heard you earlier saying Ryan Nall at fullback. That's a problem.
They come out in the third quarter, Danny, and he comes in, and he motions into the I formation, and I'm screaming at the TV, this is not ISO, is it? And they run ISO. They run ISO and Ryan Nall at fullback. So you have some questions for Coach Nagy.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. You will not hear me defending Matt Nagy on that one. I promise you. Joe in Westmont. Joe, you're on the score on a Bears Monday with Olin Krutz. Oh, Joe dropped. Let's see. John in Rolling Meadows. John, you're on the score with Olin Krutz.
Hello. Good evening. My question and concern was on that first and goal at the 2-inch line. Mm-hmm. And they bring in all these tight ends, and when the ball was snapped, there did not look like there was a single lineman that had any push at all. It was almost like the defense knew what the call was or knew what the snap count was because the ball got snapped and nobody went anywhere. That, I mean, how can you explain that?
That was the one they got stuffed. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, he's talking about the goal line plays. I mean, they went Montgomery up the middle, then Foles had to QB sneak. I got to be honest, it was not the most inspiring series of plays from the 1-inch line, but they eventually got it in.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I haven't watched those plays on film yet down there just because they scored. So, you know, I was kind of a moot point to me. But something to look at, I mean, look, the tight ends, you bring them in, And some, you know, one thing I have a problem with nowadays in the NFL, to be honest with you, is on third and short situations, goal line situations, I'd love to see these guys crowd the ball. It's like they're all play off the ball and they're light on their hand. The D line is just coming at you full speed. So I don't know. That could be a problem when you watch it. Rashad Coward is probably the first time he ever took, you know, you think about Rashad Coward, he played D line in college. Played right tackle in camp last year, moved to right guard. This was his first live snap ever on goal line, right? Because they don't go live in practice anymore. So this is his first live snap ever on a goal line situation out of a left-handed stance. I mean, he's, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd say he's going to get blasted.
And you are a betting man.
Especially by what's that monster's name they have in the middle? They took number 7, Derek Brown. That guy is a monster.
Yeah,
that's what I like when people say, like Rashad Coward, he got blasted by the D tackle. Like, he got blasted by number 7 pick of the draft out of Auburn, Derrick Brown, is who he got blasted by.
Right, when he's a guy who, right, I mean, Charles Leno's a former 7th-round pick. Rashad Coward's right. A defensive lineman. Like, there's that the pedigree is not the same. Like, you know, I will say, you know, this, like, when we talk about injuries, right, we often hear you football types say, like, hey, if I'm healthy enough to be out there.
Wait, hold on. You football?
What do you mean, you people?
Are you radio types? Is that who you are? You and Bernstein are radio types?
Yeah, we're radio types. You're football
okay,
types.
Cool.
I'd rather be a football type, but I was born like
this. Oh, no, no. I think the radio, I'm sort of like radio type. I feel like a radio type now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's kind of tough. Like, you're right. Rashad Coward's Rashad Coward, and Derrick Brown's a 7th overall pick. Like, their paycheck is different. Their pedigree is different. Their background's different. Their skill level's different. But on that play,
mm-hmm.
Coward's job is to block Derrick Brown, right? So, like,
no doubt, no doubt. And Derrick Brown's job is to blow Coward up, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's radio hosts, right? And you listen to the radio, and if one guy gets paid way more than the other guy, you're expecting to get entertained a little more by the guy who gets a lot of money. Than the guy who doesn't get. So the guy who's on from 12 a.m. to 5 in the morning is probably not as interesting as you are, Danny.
You said it, not me. You said it, not me. But, I mean, you know, facts only. Although I will
facts
say,
only.
Less is handled.
Oh, Les will get going sometimes, man. He fires them up.
Yeah. I will say I'm a huge fan of our 12 to 5 a.m. programming. But
for sure.
So in this, I'm Derrick Brown, and he is Rashad
yes,
Coward.
Exactly.
Rashad Coward overnight on the score. I like it. We put a bow on this thing with Olin Kreutz before we get into Chiefs and Bills coming up on the score. All right, so as we wrap up the Danny Parkin Show on a Victory Bears Monday, we've talked about the Bears offense, the Bears defense, the Bears coach, the Bears quarterback, the Bears general manager, the Bears running game, the officiating. Olin Kreutz has hung out for 2 hours. We had Mark Grody on. We heard from Matt Nagy. We took your calls, and we talked to Boomer Esiason. But, Olin, look at this blender that I have, my man. Look at this blender. Now, it's not
what
that
is that called?
Right. It's a Vitamix.
Oh, I have a Vitamix.
Dude. These things are ridiculous.
There's a Ninja, too. You ever see the Ninja?
I have.
I've got the Ninja. It's far superior than anything Danny owns.
Shane.
Shane
Olin,
I know you weren't
up.
Here. You weren't
Shane
here
shows only. Up in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know you weren't here for the blender talk, but it's an ongoing saga that has been happening since this past Pizza Friday. And Olin, if you're not familiar, Pizza Friday on Friday, we get pizza back here at the studio. It's the end of the week.
That's
we kind
pizza
of celebrate
Friday
it.
See, us football types can't put that together.
Exactly. You guys are a little, there's not as much from all the head hits to your head.
You got
to
tell
can't
me,
really
bro.
Comprehend Pizza Friday. But
well,
Danny
see, you just screwed the word up while you were trying to say I had a mental problem. See how that goes?
The pot calling the kettle boiling, whatever it is.
Oh, here we go.
So this is Danny's
blender.
The pot
calling the kettle a blender, you moron.
Danny, what are we making that blender?
Okay, so every morning I make a smoothie because I'm trying to become a healthier eater because I'm skinny fat, and so in the morning, just a little water, like maybe like an ounce of water, or so to you know liquefy, help it blend up at the beginning. Then I put my whatever soft fruits I got. Usually it's a banana, an orange, some blueberries, some raspberries, some strawberries. Like usually like 3 of the 5 fruits go in. Then a bunch of spinach. A bunch of baby kale, handful of almonds, and some ice cubes. Blend that all together. So usually like 3 to 4 fruits, 2 vegetables, and some almonds. What do you think?
I'd go with eggs and bacon, to be honest. Eggs and bacon.
There
get a little bench press in. Get a little bench press in, man. You know, eggs and bacon. Get some weights in. All that kale is not going to help you. It's not going to, you know, I don't know. Maybe put that blue pill. Remember that blue pill that you pump up on the radio? Put that in there. See what happens there. You never know.
Littlebluechew.com, man.
Bluechew.com. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Number 2 would be on its way.
No shame to my game. I got no problem with that. And the check's clear every other Friday. But, Shane, why did the Why did the Twitch people want to see the blunder? Did they not
I'm not sure,
that
but they
the
went as far as this Patrick J. Adams 1002 went as far as calling the studio hotline and asking me to get you to show the blender in the final segment. I said, you know what? Anything for you guys out on Twitch. They're a ton of fun. But yeah, they really care about your household appliances. I, for one, don't, but the people on Twitch absolutely care about your household appliances.
You're a great cook.
Shane, what do you care about?
I care about you, Olin, and that, how great you've been today.
I appreciate that, man.
No, he cares about whenever he can go home and start drinking and Instagramming his meat and just doing all sorts of things.
Hey,
like
true,
that.
Man.
That's what he cares about.
True.
I know when Shane is doing that at home, we get our I get the review of what we're all wearing on the after show. He's not a big fan of some of our outfits.
Yesterday, I'm sorry I texted you in the middle of the show, but yesterday was ridiculous.
Wait, what happened?
Well, I don't know.
Why
don't
are we
know.
Saving this for right now? What happened? What was he wearing?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but Olin brought it up. That's
what were you
to be
wearing?
Off the air stuff, Olin.
What were you
no,
wearing?
For me, he's not a big fan of my shoes sometimes, but. You know, hey, look, I'm trying my best when I'm on there. We don't wear suits in Hawaii. I don't really know what the hell to put on.
No, we're not. You were not the focus yesterday.
I know. I'm trying to cover it up. Trying to cover up.
Oh, you
what was actually
Cap's
going
suit?
On?
You hated Cap's jacket. That's probably what it was. Shane's a longtime hater of Cap. Nicest guy in Chicago media.
I put my bulletproof coffee in my Vitamix in the morning.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you think I need to exercise, huh? That's your big takeaway from our 2 hours together?
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna change skinny fat with a handful of kale and spinach.
But I mean it's good nutrients. It's better than eating bad food.
Bacon and eggs, man. I'm telling you, man. Bacon and eggs. Do it.
Okay. Hey Olin, I appreciate you doing this, man.
Oh, it was fun, man. I appreciate it, guys.
Good luck on your bets, all right?
It looks like I might need it.
who do you got in the Cowboys game so I can take the other side?
That's the kind of luck I'm showing today.
Yeah, exactly. I went
Cowboys, but I did a little different bet to get better odds. So we'll see what happens.
Look at you. Oh, my God. I'm going to start texting you about gambling all the time. Shane can text you about clothes. I'll text you about gambling. Thank you to... What did we do today? I guess I have to thank Shane Reardon, technically. Definitely will thank Brian Gerge for handling the Twitch stream, Olin Kreutz for hanging out for 2 hours, Rick Camp for sitting in for Chris Tannehill, Mark Grody and Boomer Esiason were our guests today. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. We'll join Bills and Chiefs in progress. Then we go to Cowboys and Cardinals. So it's a Monday night doubleheader here. This is the Danny Parkin Show on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.